We are here to bring you honor and glory because you are worthy. You have blessed us by giving us faith to believe in Jesus Christ. You have blessed us by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You blessed us through the indwelling of your Spirit, and you blessed us that we actually want to be here as we open your word and to be loving on and sharpening each other. We just praise you, Lord. There is a world full of people out there right now who are doing whatever they're doing, riding motorcycles, relaxing, watching TV, doing yard work already, but you are the most important things in our life, and we want to be here. So we praise you, Lord. And I pray that our praise is acceptable through the sacrifice of Jesus, which I know it is. Just clean our hearts of our sin and help us to just turn to you fully. And may you speak to us through your word today as your Spirit just touches our hearts and minds, and we leave here a little bit different. Lord, we love you, and we give you this time in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Profaning the name of God. When you hear the word profanity, what do you think of? Maybe movies? Maybe your workplace? Maybe you think of your past. You know, lots of times I think of profanity. I think of living in the dorms in college. Woo! Man, I'm telling you. But normally when we think of profanity, it has something to do with speech, right? I mean, we normally associate profanity with the cursing and the filthy language that we hear around us all the time as we live in a fallen world. But it is, in fact, more than that. It involves not just speech, but also our actions as we stand for something larger than ourselves, as we represent the God Most High and His Son, Jesus Christ, through whom the world finds salvation. And last week, while we were studying the book of Amos, we found an interesting phrase in Amos chapter 2, verse 7, which says, "Father and son use the same girl, and so profane my holy name." So in the immorality of the people of God in this day and age, back during the time of Amos, they were profaning the name of God. So today we're going to slow down. We're going to take a detour. We're going to look at this phrase and what it means. Because now, today, we are the people of God. And could it be that we also are profaning His name? Our need this morning, as well as the overall theme of this message, is to understand our separation and our representation as God's people. As we are to be separate from this world, separated unto Him, and in our separation we are to represent Him to a world who is watching. I mean, we are to be in the world, but not of the world, right? I mean, we've been recreated, we've been reborn through the Spirit after placing our faith in Jesus Christ, making Him our Savior and the Lord of our lives. Now we are aliens and strangers here. We don't belong here anymore because we're His. And until He takes us home, we are to be His and we are to live as His, as we are to live for Him, with Him, and through Him. We are no longer our own. We have been separated unto Him, and again, in our separation, we are to represent Him because the world's watching. The world needs Him so desperately. And when we fail to represent Christ well, we are involving ourselves in profanity, but not just ourselves. We are profaning the name and thus the character of God. So, let's look a little bit closer at exactly what this phrase means, profaning God's name. If you were to open a huge dictionary that's about that thick, literally, because I got one at home, and you were to look up the word profane, you'd basically find two definitions. One definition has kind of, I feel, lost its meaning over time, especially in the English language. That's the first and most correct definition. And the second definition, I think, is kind of the one we associate with the word today. So we'll start with definition number two. Definition number two in this huge dictionary: profane means to put to wrong use, to employ basely or unworthily. Profane, to put to wrong use. Again, I think this is how we apply the word today, and let me try to explain this definition by using an example of one of the biggest knuckleheads I know, myself. All right. When I was in high school, I refused to cuss or use profanity. I didn't like it. I didn't like hearing it. And honestly, curse words were not a part of my vocabulary. And I took pride in that fact. I prided myself in being different. But now, in the passage of time and with wisdom, I realized that I, in fact, was no different. You see, I didn't use the same curse words that we all hear all the time, but I still called people names. I was just a little bit more creative. I was more creative in my name calling. I mean, I learned a great deal in biology class. And what I learned was words that I could turn into adjectives and use against people, basically. And one of my favorite phrases to call people was the term feces face. Okay? See, now you have to realize that the word feces is a normal word. I mean, it describes a normal byproduct of life. If you live and eat, you're going to produce waste or you're going to die. This is natural. This is normal. This is the way that God made us. Feces is in a sense good, right? And you know, in certain professions, they use this word and it just means what it means. I mean, if you're a doctor or a veterinarian or a sewage plant worker or, I mean, whatever, you use this word in its proper context and it's not a bad word. But when I took this noun and made it into an adjective in order to describe people's faces, I profaned it. I used it wrongly, and it became profanity. You see, I may have been just a little bit more creative, but I was just the same. I was no different. I was just like everyone else, and my words hurt everyone just the same. You probably heard the expression, profanity is the sign of a weak mind, and there's some truth to that. You see, there are people who don't know enough or don't care enough to understand how words are to be used properly. They use them incorrectly, usually with a negative connotation, usually to hurt, and the result can be devastating in the lives of others. Normally, when we think of profanity, it's putting something to wrong use. It's the wrong use of words, and honestly, the wrong use of words with the intent to harm, profanity. Now, there's a second definition to profane. It's the first and most correct definition in this big old dictionary. And this definition is one that is rarely heard or used today, but it's very important because it involves our relationship with God. Profane means not sacred or devoted to sacred purposes, not holy, unconsecrated, secular. So let's think of this word as meaning to make something unholy, profane, to make unholy. You have the sacred versus the secular. You have the sacred versus the profane. So think of this definition in respect to God, and again, in respect to God's people who are to be separated unto him and are to represent him to the world. God is holy. He is completely separate from his fallen creation. God is the uncreated being who is the author of everything created, everything we see and everything we don't see. He is completely and utterly different from us in ways that we cannot fully comprehend with our finite minds. God is different. God is holy. Who is God? What is God? I'll tell you who God is. I'm going to read straight from Psalm 99. God, according to the psalmist, "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob, you have done what is right and just. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from a pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." So let's see. Who is God? The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He's enthroned between angels. He makes the earth shake. He is great. He is exalted among the nations. We are to praise his awesome name. He is holy. He loves justice and equity. He loves what is just and right. On and on and on and on. Three times he is holy. Does this sound like anyone on this earth? No. No. God is holy. He's set apart from his creation. There's no one else like him. There's no one else like him. And that's why we exalt the Lord our God, for the Lord our God is holy. When Isaiah was ushered into the throne room of God, what did he see and what were the angels saying? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, let me read 1 through 4, says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, with two wings they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And what was Isaiah's response? He says in verse 5, Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. What's Isaiah saying? He says, Man, I am done. I am unholy in the presence of the holy God. God is holy. He is set apart from his creation. There is no one like him. There is no one like him. And when God calls a people or a person to himself, God makes them holy as he is holy. Let me read several verses here. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. Leviticus 11:45. Therefore be holy as I am holy. What had to happen to Isaiah that he could be in the presence of God? Isaiah 6, verse 6 says, Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. One more, Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, is anyone confused about this fact? God's people are to be holy. God's people, Christians, saved by faith in Christ, we are to be holy as he is holy. We have been separated from the sinfulness of this world, separated unto him in purity, in holiness, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And now, having been separated unto him as his people, now in our separateness, we are to represent him. We're to represent him, again, in our separation and our consecration. A few more verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Titus 2:7, In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Now, I'm stressing these points pretty hard because I want you to understand the holiness of God. I want you to understand our separation unto him and thus our representation of him in our separateness as we speak about profaning the name of God. And that brings us to our next point, God's name. God's name. In the ancient world, a name was not merely a label as it is today. It was thought of as indicating the very nature and character of the person that name was associated with. And in Exodus chapter 3, God gives us his name. God gives us his name, indicating to us his unchanging character. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. God said, my name is I am. I am who I am. And then right after that, he says, tell them Yahweh sent you. Now remember, every time in the Old Testament that you see the Lord all capitalized, that's the English translation of the proper name, Yahweh. This is God's name. This is God's nature. I am. I am. God says, I am. I am God. I am the creator. I am the sustainer of life. I am the sender of grace. I am the giver of mercy. I am the provider of my people. I am their protector and their warrior, but I am also their judge and the sender of wrath. I am. I am everything. There would be nothing without me. I am. Who is God? He is. Thus his name, Yahweh. He is. He is. Now listen to this carefully because this is important. We as God's people are to show that he is. And when we fail to do this, we profane his name by showing the world that he isn't. Okay? And this is not just an attack on his name, this is an attack on his character, and that's why it's so atrocious. The very character of God. Do you realize that the Jews in that day and the Jews even today, they don't even pronounce God's name. You will rarely ever hear a Jew pronounce the name Yahweh. It's too holy. It's too sacred. When they refer to God, they use the Hebrew term Hashem, which in Hebrew means the name. It's so holy to them. And that takes us back to Isaiah 6:5. What had to happen? The coal touched his lips so his sins would be atoned for and he could speak before God. Holiness. So we've seen God's holiness and separateness from his creation. We've discussed the fact that we as God's people are separated unto him and we are to represent him in our separation, in our holiness. Now I want to look in the Bible at a few instances when God's name was profaned. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me first to Leviticus 18:21. Leviticus 18:21.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
Leviticus 18:21. Leviticus 18:21 says this. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am, he is. That's what he's saying. Now, if you sacrifice your children to the false god Molech, which was probably one of the prominent gods among the Ammonites, you would be profaning God's name. What does this mean and how? Well, remember the key to understanding this phrase is our separation and our representation. We are called by God to be holy, separate, as we separate ourselves from the sins of the world, and in our separateness we proclaim that God is. Now, if we kill our children, giving them to some piece of wood that's carved up, the false god of the nations, we are not proclaiming the separateness of our God. We're not proclaiming his holiness. We ourselves are not proclaiming our separateness in him. In fact, what we're proclaiming to the world is that he isn't. And maybe something else is. Let's kill our children in the name of this false god. How is our God different if we sacrifice our children to another false god? How will the world know our God if we do what they're doing, if we act like they're acting, if we engage in the same atrocious acts outright murder instead of standing separate from those things? How was the world to know God, and how is the world to know God? Well, first, the world was to know God through the obedience of the nation of Israel as they stood separate from the sin of the world. And now the world is to know God through Christians saved by grace, saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, who stand separate from the sins of the world. And it's different. It's being different from the gross atrocities going on all around us, even the profane language going on all around us. And if we associate ourselves with the name Yahweh, if we associate ourselves with the Savior Jesus Christ, and then acts as the world acts, we take away God's holiness, we take away His sacredness, we take away His separateness in the eyes of the world, in God's name, and thus His character is profaned. What is the holy name of God? I am. And what do we proclaim to the world with our words and our actions? He isn't. It's really pretty simple. God's people involving themselves in pagan idolatry, committing the murder of their children, they're doing just that. My God's not enough. Maybe I need yours too. You see, in the Jewish culture, sin was a bad thing, right? Duh. But for God's people to sin in front of Gentiles was a horrible thing. For God's people to sin in front of godless people, for people within, in covenant with God to sin before the eyes of people who were not in covenant to God, this was inexcusable, and in the mind of the Jews was the unforgivable sin. See, sinning in private is a bad thing, but to sin in public is worse because it involves the denial of God's existence and His omnipresence before the world. In fact, there's one rabbi who said, the greatest of all sins is to be the cause of another sinning. To make another to sin is worse than to kill him, because to murder a person is only to remove them from this world, but to cause them to sin is to exclude them from the world to come as well. And this is what it means to profane the name of God, to make it unholy, to make it no different. It's proclaiming to the world that our God isn't. And if our God isn't, that means there must be something else that is, right? And really, right along with the Jews, I mean, this is exactly what Jesus taught. Luke chapter 17, starting verse 1, Jesus said to His disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. So watch yourselves. So watch yourselves. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. If you're not sure where Ezekiel is, just kind of turn into the middle of your Bible. It could be the Psalms or Proverbs. Go towards the New Testament. You'll have Isaiah, Jeremiah, then you'll find Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verses 19 through 20. Ezekiel 36, verses 19 through 20. It says this. God speaking, and He says, I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they have had to leave the land. So God called His people out. He called them out from slavery. He called them out from the Gentile nations. He really called them out from sin. And He gave them a land, a very special land, the promised land, a land of abundance and blessing. But God's people were disobedient. They weren't being different. They weren't being obedient. They're being like everyone else around them. So the judge was forced to judge his own people. And the judgment was they were forced from the land back into the nations of the Gentiles. But this time, once again, well, not this time, once again, as slaves and prisoners. And as a result, God's name was profaned. How? Because God's people were not showing themselves to be different. They weren't living in the blessed land. They weren't living among the blessings. They were back among the Gentiles. They weren't special. They were just like everyone else. And if they weren't special, then their God wasn't special, just like any other God. Why in the world would I want to worship your God, Yahweh, when you're no different than me? In fact, I'm the master and you're the slave. And thus, God's name was profaned. Our text from last week, Amos chapter 2, verse 7. Once again, father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. See, if God's people were committing and living within the same sexual immorality as those worshiping false idols, how are they being different? How are they showing that God is holy, that he expects more, that he has a good and perfect law? How are they showing that they are his, that they are sacred? How are they showing anything different? They weren't sitting there saying, no, we're not going to do that. Our God says not to. Our God says this is spitting in his face, that he created men and women and he puts them together in the covenant of marriage, and only within the covenant of marriage is sex sacred and really allowed. Because that would be standing separate. That would be proclaiming that God is. But instead, they just joined right in the immorality and the acts of wickedness, proclaiming that God is not, that they were not holy, that they were not different, and that they were not blessed. Thus, God's name was profaned. One last text in the New Testament. Turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Right after the Gospels, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 2, verses 23 through 24. This is what Paul is saying. Romans chapter 2, verses 23 through 24. He says, you who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Now, Paul is quoting Isaiah here, but what's he saying? He's saying the world blasphemes, the world profanes the name of God because of the way that God's people act in front of them. The world profanes the name of God because of the way we represent him to them. Instead of showing the world Christ, instead of carrying the cross before all people, it's just as if we hold up a mirror and all they see in us is more of them. We claim the name Christian, we claim the name Christ, yet we look and we speak and we act just like everyone else, showing them that we're not separate, showing them that our God's not anything any special, and we represent Christ poorly. And when we do this, when we represent Christ poorly to people who do not know him, God's name is profaned, but not just his name, his character. We're supposed to be yelling to the world that God is. And yet what they see in our lives is that he isn't. And if God isn't, maybe something else is. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh or point fingers. I just want you to understand who God is. I want you to understand who you are in Christ. Because when you understand who God is and what he expects of you, then you can do it. Right? You can choose to. You can choose to try. So are you living a life giving praise to God, or are you living a life profaning his holy name? Again, it all has to do with separation, representation, and quite frankly, the holiness of God. I mean, do you think that God is your buddy? That he's your homeboy? Do you think that he's Goose and you're Maverick? You know, you're up there flying the plane, he's just the wingman in the back. I mean, who do you think God is? Or do you think God is the creator God who gave life and can take life away? I mean, do you realize who God is? Do you realize with a blast of one nostril, this world is toast? Do you realize who God is? Does God instill reverent respect and fear in you? Because quite honestly, when you think of God, if you aren't filled with awe, reverent respect, and fear, it's because you honestly don't know who he is. You see, we are to be holy as he is holy. Are you different? And I'm not just talking about a small difference, like a football player is different from a baseball player. I'm talking about holiness. It means set apart. You've been set apart to God. God is now your world. He's now your life, and the world is not. Can people tell that you live for Christ? Or are you just like them? You see, when I was in high school, I thought it was different. But now that I'm older and wiser, I realize that I was no different. My words were different, but my life, my heart, my soul, my mind was no different. And there are many people who come to church who call themselves Christians, who think they're different, but their lives show that they're no different. They talk like everyone else. They live like everyone else. Being truthful, they fear their boss or someone on this earth more than they fear God. And in the end, you can't tell who they are and you can't tell what they believe in. And when a person that is made holy, saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, when we're given this new identity in Christ and we deny that identity and we live our lives just like everyone around us, then we profane ourselves. The sacred is made secular. And so is the name of God. And so is his character. Profaned in the eyes of the world. You see, God is too big to be made little. He's too awesome to be normal. He's too sacred to be made secular. He's too powerful to be made powerless. He's too holy to be mundane. He's too pure to be dirty. He is worthy to be praised and not profaned. He is the Lord our God, and we should exalt him. Thank you. I needed that. If God is truly God in your eyes, if you truly understand who he is and who you are in him, then that changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything you do. It changes everything you say. It changes your motives. It changes you forever because you're forever his. But you see, if you can't distinguish God from Gumby, then God is nothing to you. Your life will be no different. You'll just show the world a new type of pollution. I know I always say this, but just think a little bit. Think. Reflect on your life. Who is God to you? Is he the God of the Bible? Or is he a figment of your imagination that you've dreamed up in order to fit your lifestyle? As a Christian, are you living separated unto God? And in your separateness, are you representing him well? Ask yourself these questions. And if you can't answer the question, ask someone else. Ask your spouse, your friend, your coworker. Say, can you see Christ in me? This is an important question. You see, God has saved us through the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross. He has given everything for you, and he deserves more than mediocrity as we take the name Christ and call ourselves Christians. So what will it be? Praise or profanity? Praise or profanity? Is God's name being lifted up in your life or is it being torn down? It's never too late to change. It's never too late to decide to be as Christ as we try. It's never too late to seek to be more, to be holy, to be more like Christ. And please, please remember this. Profanity is not just the words you use. It is the life you live before God. I close. I wanted to read all of Psalm 103, but we'd have been here an hour. It's real long. So I'm just going to read the first 12 verses of Psalm 103. Once again, who is God and who are we in him? Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. God is a holy God. Praise his name. As the praise team comes up, let me just say that this week, again, I got a huge dictionary. It's like that big, literally. And I opened that big dictionary, that big book, and there's basically two definitions for profane. One day, as I've mentioned several times, you're going to stand before God. He's going to open a big old book. And under your name is going to be one of two definitions, a life of praise or a life of profanity. And for one, it's going to be glorious, and for one, it's going to be really ugly. How do we switch? How do we turn our life? How do we stop from profaning the name of God in the eyes of the world to proclaiming his name and praising him? First and foremost is through Jesus. It's just understanding that as the Old Testament people, the Israelites, as they had to go to the temple and sacrifice for their sins, now there's been a sacrifice, and God said, you don't have to sacrifice anymore. All you have to do is say, yeah, I accept that one for me. And God says, yeah, that one's good enough for you. And that sacrifice that is good enough for you, that's good enough for the world, is a sacrifice of the Son of God as he lay on that cross. As I always say, it should have been us. He died, yet he rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death. And we can have this victory, the victory of Christ. We can have the victory of turning from a person who profanes the holy name of God to being holy ourselves, being made holy through the blood of Christ. And are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to mess up? Yes. But we have an advocate who fights on our behalf, the Lord Jesus, one whose blood can never be washed away, who can never be tarnished. We will always be pure in Jesus. But what people don't realize is that, yes, we can barely make it into heaven just by believing in who Jesus is, but God desires more than that. He desires mercy. He desires grace. He desires love. He desires us to grow in maturity and to be more like Jesus. So when the world sees us, they see him. So when the world hears us, they hear him. They see something different. They see something better. We're separate. Yet in our separateness, we represent God. And when we aren't separate, when we look just like everyone else and talk just like everyone else, that's profanity. That's ugliness. Because in our dirtiness and our ugliness, they're missing out on seeing the holiness of God. And at that place and time in history, they're missing out on an opportunity to choose to be different as we are different, to choose to be separate as we are separate. And in the mind of the Jews, that's the unforgivable sin. Of course, we know it's not. But make that choice today. Give yourselves to Jesus. Just give yourselves to Jesus each and every day as you wake up and say, Lord, just take all the junk out. Help me to see the world for what it is. And help me to choose you in all things. And help me to be a good representative in all that we do. So as we sing our closing song, if you need special